from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
And today on the show, we are again talking through the magic of technology. So if any of you out there are thinking, oh, the sound is not so good, then blame Ryan.
No, blame technology. Blame the fact that we are living in 2010 and still talking over a computer sounds worse than being in the same room with the person. It boggles my mind.
It should be even better. They should clean up our speech.
It should be like high def. It should sound amazing. It should be orgasms in your ears, but instead there's delay, there's echo, there's static. It's awful.
But there's no charge. And that's the thing you kind of understand. What is the price of free? The price of free is not perfect, man. Not fucking perfect. Although,
just
I do
want to show you that capitalism is better.
Exactly. Although I want to tell you that I think it's still, you know, when you look at those old Popular Mechanics articles from the 1960s about what would 2010 be like, it really makes you wonder, would the future that the people predicted in 1960 be possible? Like, could it have been possible?
Absolutely.
Or are we not willing to move at that speed, or just unable to?
Yeah, here's what's happened. All of the basic services that we have locked in at set prices and set levels. People don't realize that you should be getting 500 channels of television for $20 a month. They still get sucked into this capitalistic idea that it's okay for you to be paid.
Forget.
I'm not talking about just television. I'm talking about everything. We're bogged down in all of this crap. It's the fact that phones and televisions and everything else, these are all services that we should be paying practically nothing for. We should have moved way past it. And instead, these companies, the biggest companies out there basically, are holding us. It's like buggy whips. You hear about that? Buggy whip lobbyists going out there trying to keep the buggy whip for horses. You got to keep that buggy whip industry going.
Let me ask you this. How fun would it be to still be a buggy whip lobbyist lobbying against the automobile and saying, no, we don't need automobiles. What we need is more whips, more competition within the whip industry to improve services.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now whips with more burrs. More burrs. Now, you wanted to mention that the fact that we are drinking on the show for some weird reason.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, Skype is terrible, but there are some advantages to being down in the States. Number one being that it's not snowing where I am.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the first thing. I just want to put that out there to all of you listening to the show right now in Montreal, in my city. It is snowing enough that there's actually snow on the ground, that people are having to shovel it off their fucking cars. I went to the grocery store and I was just covered in it just on the way. It's like one of those, you know, those big massive flakes that don't go away.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have today on 27th of April. Fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah, poor ting.
I hate this country sometimes.
But, you know, the Skype sucks, and I've already mentioned on another radio show that the studio sucks. And, that, like, I'm basically sitting on an inflatable bed talking into a microphone on a cup, and there is a fly in here, a goddamn blowfly, and it's one of those flies that doesn't know its place. It's landing on me. It's brushing up against my neck. It's circling around my head. And every time it does that, I almost knock over, like, the pile of beer bottles that I have set up in my room here.
Let me tell you something. You must make it your duty to kill that bug, because if it has offspring, it will probably inherit its horrible habits. Ryan, you need to fucking kill this fly, man. You need to help flies evolve to a stage where they no longer bother us, because the result is only death.
I'm trying here, but it's difficult. And as I said, I don't want to knock over my beer. The other advantage I have down here is there is a fridge that is full of beer all the time.
Did I ever tell you that I actually thought about an invention to send a third world to take care of their horrible fly problem? I know this sounds completely, absolutely insane, but it's a hand-powered vacuum, essentially, is what it is, with a thing that sort of like grinds up bugs. This would be my invention. This would be my contribution to third world. I'm like, you got flies hanging around? Grind that shit up. And the flies that don't bother you are the ones that are going to reproduce, and they'll leave you alone. Just that's the simple process of evolution, my friend.
I got bad news for you. I think this invention already exists.
God damn it.
I swear to God, I think I saw it in a SkyMall magazine. Now, you don't fly enough to know, but SkyMall magazines have all sorts of weird, useless gadgets, and your weird, stupid gadget, I think.
It's not stupid.
I remember reading about a bug sucker.
Damn it, so you're saying that was going to be my contribution to the third world, the way that I could feel less guilty for my, comfort?
You can make an adjustment to it, and it has the advantage of making it amusingly offensive, is that it sucks up the bug, grinds it up, and then you take out the bottom and you can eat the paste.
Is that what my contribution is? Eat the bug paste?
Hey, I mean, because that's the thing. I was thinking, they don't need bug suckers, they need food. What?
No, I would actually...
That's where it converged in my head, Jacob.
No, you know what they need? They need fuel. That's what they need. Look, at the end of the day, and don't never separate the two. You know, food and fuel, they're the same thing. Just one of them is something we can eat, and the other one is something that can make shit go. But at the end of the day, the thing that every living creature out there is after is fuel. So if you could turn those bug bits into fuel, that would be something. That would be something, my friend.
It probably isn't possible. I'm pretty sure if you ate those bugs, you would die of horrible disease.
I'm not saying eating them. I'm like, maybe you start your fire with them or something like that. You burn them or some shit. I don't know. Maybe there's just some kind of crazy like I know for a fact that bugs have a higher protein yield than most other food that we eat. In fact, what we should be doing rather than grazing cows is probably grazing gigantic cockroaches that we can later grind up and eat. Maybe that's the future. What do you think? What do you think of my enterprise where we make cockroach steaks or meat patties?
You could do it over in Thailand. I mean, you go to Thailand and they have stalls that are just in each individual compartment. They is just this gigantic trough full of different kinds of bugs.
I'm seriously gonna try that shit. I have not. The only time where I got to, I asked my buddy Tom to go to the Insectorium in Montreal. It's a pretty cool place, actually. And I said, why don't you buy some candy, right? I was like, buy some, I don't know, some chocolate-covered ants or something like that, just so I can introduce myself slowly to it. Do you know what he comes back with?
Hmm?
He comes back with a lollipop with a mealworm in the middle. And it smells, when you smell it, all right, when you smell that lollipop, it smelled like shit. It literally smelled like I wiped my ass with it. So I'm thinking, why do you want me to, you know, usually the center of a lollipop is supposed to be the payout, that you work your way to it. I'm like, I don't want to work my way to a mealworm. So that was my first and only attempt at eating a bug, and it was an absolute failure.
Yeah, and
a lollipop that smelled like ass.
Plus, anybody who went to museums when they were kids knows that there's just something about educational buildings and structures. They're incapable of giving kids good lollipops. It's just
Why do all educational institutions have shitty food?
Shitty home. It's because they always try to make it. They're like, we make this on location, and it's just no.
No, yeah, exactly. If you're going to attract people, all right, malls have learned this. You don't think that when you're in a mall, you have to fight for whatever fucking space you're going to have to give out food? You got to fight for that shit because food is what attracts people. It's a part of it. I mean, like, give me good food. If I go to a museum, I should have the same food selection as a movie theater, damn it. Like, give me what I crave, deliciousness. Always craving that shit.
Indeed.
Okay, let's talk about religion, which is why people listen to the show, I think. Not for my bug fascination, but really more for religious matters. The first thing that I want to talk about is a memo that leaked. This is in Great Britain. There was the Foreign Office. There was a memo that was leaked from, I don't know, this 23-year-old frat boy, basically, who describes his hobbies as drinking, which I respect, I suppose. I have similar hobbies.
If you're going to be honest with yourself.
If I'm going to be honest, I'm like, what are your hobbies? I'm like, I don't know. I play video games, I read a lot, and I smoke pot and drink. Those are my hobbies. Is that so wrong? But anyways, this guy, a kindred spirit, let's say, puts out a memo, tells everybody, hey, don't spread this memo around. But by the way, with the Pope's visit, I think that he should launch his own brand of condoms and his own abortion clinics. So obviously the memo is just intended as one of those hilarious inner office. What's what I'm looking?
Well, here's the thing, because here's it's not, it wasn't really a memo. It was just one of those things that gets passed around the office as a joke, and it was just, and it got out, and all of a sudden, I remember I was reading, because back to my beer story for a second, people might have noticed that I've been posting a few times. People might have noticed that I've started posting, and it's because basically at night I've been drinking so much beer that when I lie down in bed, I'm getting all this acid reflux, so I'm up at like 2 a.m. in the morning, eating out of the baking soda box so I can get the acid to go down. And while I've been waiting for that to happen, I'll be surfing the net and I'm reading all these British websites because I'm following that election that's going on. And to me, it seems like the entire British press is pretty right wing. And they were talking about that quote unquote memo that got leaked, which is really just a chain letter that went around the office that got out. And the person who wrote this article, God, I mean, you'd think the bias in America with Fox News and even the newspapers around here is bad. This guy was straight up saying this is what happens when you have a secular society, and this is the disrespect, and this is why the British government is falling apart. And it was just, wow, people were really upset that this joke email got out.
It's funny that the Vatican comes out, says literally that this is disrespectful, that is disgusting, which this is the terms that they use here, and saying like, oh, it's unbelievable. We might not even come to the country because of this. And, you know, they use the word disgusting. An institution that has sheltered child rapists since its very inception has the gall to say that an email, a memo, a personal memo sent within a government institution, a secular, apparently, government institution, that it's completely unacceptable, that somebody should be fired, that they find this hugely offensive. I'm like, I find you raping kids offensive. That's what I fucking find offensive. To turn around and just, like, this is what I find is the weird pseudo-reality that we live in, where an institution that harbors pederasts can turn around and tell some independent nation that they're doing something wrong. Hey, dear England, you totally disrespected me. Hey, dear Vatican, you disrespect humanity by your very fucking existence. That's what you do. You throw away the rules of logic, the rules of law, the rules of reason. You live in your own fucking bubble, one where apparently child rape is not a crime. It's a sin, and that's different. You're like, oh, I didn't commit a crime. I just was tempted by the devil. What kind of fucking explanation is this? If every guy could go off like, oh, I murdered my wife. Why was that? I was possessed by the devil. I'm like, come on, folks. Absolutely ludicrous.
And you know what?
It angers me, too. No, go.
The funniest thing about this whole the whole row about it is using the British term, since I've been dealing with so much of that stuff. It's such a row.
Who uses that? Like, hello.
Everybody in the UK does. Standard wordage. Right. Standard wordage. Anyways, the thing about this whole situation is that, yes, it's obvious that the list is a joke. But beyond that, the things that they're suggesting aren't that bad. They say, okay, become pro-condom, oversee a gay marriage, and sack dodgy bishops. There's another word, another UK word. I'm like, you look at the list and you're actually like, none of these things are that outrageous. And obviously it's a joke and you can't expect them to do any of this because they're bigots and full of hate. But there's nothing wrong with the actual things in the memo, which is what's so hilarious about it, is they're so offended that people think that this should be okay.
It's weird that we live in a world where institutions and even individuals can openly practice their bigotry and somehow be excused from it. I remember I was reading an article about there was this one woman at a university. Don't ask me to describe the name of the university. It doesn't matter anyways. She was training to be a counselor, and she refused to give counsel to an individual that was gay and who was He was saying that he was having problems with his couple and something like that. So the university actually sat, they kicked her out while she was just months away from graduation. And now she's suing, because this is the U.S. and people sue. Mm-hmm. So she's suing, saying like, oh, this violates my Fourth and Sixth. I forget which amendments that she was quoting, and she's probably going to win. But the funny thing is that the response from the university, the first response was that you are being a bigot. And we are taking decisive actions to punish you. And if you can imagine the same thing, a counselor having to deal with an interracial couple issue and saying, I can't help counsel these people because I don't believe in interracial marriage. And trust me, they could find plenty of passages in the fucking Bible to tell you why interracial marriage is wrong. And apparently people would still have to be cool with that. Well, let me tell you something. It is not cool. I don't care if your religion makes you a fucking bigot. It doesn't suddenly mean that we have to accept your obvious bigotry. We shouldn't have to put up with that shit, but we still do, because apparently it's your religious right to discriminate against other human beings. I'm like, wow, that's really fun. What a great religion you have. You can openly discriminate against people, and then when we call you out for that shit, we're the intolerant ones, because we said, hey, you shouldn't be allowed to discriminate against people for their sexual orientation. This is what I hate about religion, where they're allowed to get away with more than what everybody else is, because they can always wrap themselves in that blanket of faith and say, like, it's my religious beliefs, don't question it, it's my right. And here's the thing. I mean, you probably have your own thoughts about this. I didn't. You asked me, are we going to talk about this? We can go back to it. The South Park issue, where Comedy Central censors itself, bleeps out the word Muhammad, bleeps out the end of the, like, at the end when there is, you know, the South Park always does this, the lesson, they bleep out the entire lesson.
Yeah, well,
I'm interested in knowing that this was a meta joke.
I'm interested in knowing whether or not
it's not, by the way.
What? Ah, this fucking delay.
I know what you're thinking. It's actually not a meta joke. The creators of South Park released a statement on Comedy Central saying that they had submitted it without any bleeps. So all the bleeps that you see are actually by Comedy Central.
But
why should you not?
My question is whether or not did Comedy Central, because here's the thing, you can't see that episode anymore. Comedy Central played it once. And then they could, and you know, comedy, trust me, one thing I've learned watching Comedy Central down in the States is that they replay everything 5 billion times. Yet every single time you'll look in the TV guide thing, it'll say South Park is supposed to be on at this time, and the episode 201, which is what the episode was called, is supposed to be on. And you change it to there and they're playing Ugly Americans. Now, I love Ugly Americans. If you haven't seen it, download or Hulu or
do yourself a favor and fucking watch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do.
But they have completely scrubbed it. So I haven't actually even really been, I haven't downloaded it yet. So I haven't been able to see it yet, but I'm wondering, did they bleep the entire final lesson, or did they just cut it out because they bleeped it?
No. They bleeped it.
So
they bleeped, they bleeped it until your ears bled.
That's really weird.
Like, it's just one long And here's the thing, there's three speeches. There's the speech from Kyle, there's the speech from Jesus, and I actually think at the end Santa says a word or two. All three of them are bleeped, so you can't hear what they say.
hear any of what they're saying.
And according, none of it, none of it, not one fucking word. And the creators of South Park, when they released their memo, it was quite clear where they were going with the lesson here, because at the end of the episode, the Tom Cruise gets uncensored because he fills himself with Mohammed goo, which allows him to be censored. And all of a sudden, Seaman, which is the basic joke of the other side joke of the whole show, jumps on top of Tom Cruise. And then Stan says, "You've got Seaman on your back, Tom Cruise," which instantly makes him uncensored. And it's obvious that the lesson is supposed to be that every individual should be free to be made fun of. Mm-hmm. And that's the and that no amount of threats of violence, because as you recall, Tom Cruise and the rest of the people who were offended by South Park decide to use Barbara Streisand as a violent way to censor everyone. And they were like, well, you shouldn't be able to use violence to censor anyone. This is the basic lesson that was censored from Comedy Central. The lesson was censored. It did not have any reference to Muhammad whatsoever. It's just the idea of it was censored. That's the fucking problem.
Now,
in fact, if you actually, here's what's interesting. Well, what I was going to say is that even The Simpsons. I don't know if you remember the intro that they always have where Bart's writing on the wall. One of the things that they recently had was Bart Simpson's writing, "We support South Park, but we don't have any guts to do anything about it." So what you're seeing right now is you're seeing the fact that I think people that believe in freedom of speech are talking about how outrageous this is, but no one in the mainstream is really willing to put their foot down on it. Comedy Central got scared. They've even increased their security. They're thinking that maybe even the amount that they censored was not enough. People are scared. And I'm just telling everyone out there, the fact that you are scared, the fact that this is even a scary situation in the first place is what's really fucked up about everything. And it's the elephant in the room that no one is talking about, that Islam is not playing the game that everybody else is playing, where all other religions are like, okay, well, we respect freedom of speech. We just have to deal with it. If you're going to show Buddha snorting coke on a cartoon, everyone should have the right to be made fun of, but Islam says no, and they're not playing by the fucking rules. And this is a huge fucking problem. It's not going to go away. It's actually going to get worse.
Yeah, I mean,
so what was your question?
That's what I wanted to bring up, was the fact that there was the threats that went out there, and Comedy Central basically took the position, and this is the same position that the people who decided not to publish that book that had information about Muhammad's 9-year-old wife
it was a nonfiction about Aisha and her sexual journey as a 9-year-old.
Exactly. There's been a whole bunch of examples where this kind of thing has happened, and basically everybody's argument is, well, okay, well, we want to respect these artists' right to do their thing, but at the same time we have X amount of employees, and Matt Parker and Trey Stone, or Matt, so whatever, however the hell their names go, if they want to do that, that's all well and
Matt
good,
Stone and Trey Parker.
There you go.
You had it a bit confused.
Yeah, but
I understand. They live together. They live together, eh?
Huh.
They have as creepy a bromance as we do.
That's pretty creepy. But
here's the thing. You're gonna love this. They have a $5 million environmentally safe home, a super home, basically.
You mean
that they live in together?
It protects them from man bear pig.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole idea that they can do what they want to do, but it's, you're putting everybody else in danger, and I can understand the whole idea that, hey, they're obviously copping out on free speech. But do you think that they have an understandable point in saying, well, hey, we don't want to potentially have employees die on account of this?
Look, here's the problem. If you leave free speech over to corporations alone, you're not really doing yourself a favor. Look, Comedy Central is interested in not only their safety, but also in the value of their shares and so on and so forth. So they play to that. You know, they can easily say we're trying to protect our employees, but it's not really their responsibility to protect free speech. That responsibility falls on people like us to take a stand against the fact that individuals who just don't want to be offended have decided to issue death threats against people that are fighting for freedom of speech, which is such... It's like it is really the most basic right I think that any individual has. I think if you start from any right, if you're asked what rights should people be given first, really that the freedom of the speech it ranks up there in the top three. Because if you live in a world where that's not possible, where individuals are able to silence you, what freedoms do you really have? You have none. You have none. I mean, I was already upset over the fact that in the United States they can fine someone apparently for saying the word fuck on TV. Like somehow that makes sense to them. It doesn't matter that it's completely unconstitutional and that guys like George Carlin tried to fight for that. And interestingly enough, you know that Supreme Court justice guy that's retiring?
Yep.
Probably the only guy that was still the Supreme Court justice when Roosevelt was around. Well, he's one of the main guys that actually voted against the whole George Carlin, freedom of versus FCC thing. He ruled that it wasn't constitutionally protected to be able to say fuck over the airwaves. And you know what I say to that? Fuck you, because that is exactly what you do protect as free speech. What the fuck a person says or how they say it is all the same thing. I just find it's weird that and this is why I say that actually the U.S. is not the place to defend free speech anymore. It can't. It is unable to. It's absolutely way too frightened.
And they're slave to corporate child. Interests. Because take a look at this. You haven't gone and seen Kick-Ass, have you?
What the fuck is that?
Kick-Ass is the name of a movie.
Oh, I thought you said, did you go to Saint Kick-Ass? And I'm like, I don't even know what the hell that is. But no, I did not see Kick-Ass.
No, okay. Well, the Kick-Ass was rated R. And there's a couple of violent scenes that justify it. But for the most part, they got the rating because the little girl swears. And taking a look at
She says cunt like twice or something, right?
Oh, yeah. She swears a blue streak. I mean, as far as swearing goes, it quote unquote deserves the R rating. Now, up here in Canada, no one gives a shit about swearing as far as in the movies goes. You could swear every second word and still get a PG-13 so long as the violence isn't too or so long as I think we're crazy about nudity. I think it's the nudity that gets things R ratings in Canada, but in the States
no. Well, it's outside of Quebec, nudity is a huge deal. In Quebec, nudity is just fucking second nature. I was watching television at 3:00 in the afternoon and they were showing a woman masturbating for a TV show.
Yeah,
so. Quebec is a different place. That's why I love this province.
Yeah. But I mean, the fact that that movie got an R rating has really hurt it at the box office. Now, never mind the fact that this is one of those movies that you know is going to make so much money on DVD that it's not funny. But it's one of those, if you've ever seen a movie, and I know you have, a movie where you go and it's PG-13 and you watch it and you say, oh my God, why is Aliens versus Predator rated PG-13 and why is it so tame? It's because freedom of speech isn't allowed and it's just watered down through straight. I mean, capitalism is not a friend to freedom of speech. It just isn't. Because
The best example of that, actually, if you want to talk about movies, is the Die Hard franchise. Because the last Die Hard, the Live Free or Die Hard, mm-hmm. The only way they were able to make a PG-13 is that you never actually hear that they don't swear at all. If you ever notice, if you're watching the PG-13 version, why their lips are moving and the words that are coming out of their fucking mouths is not the same, it's because they had to redub it for the PG-13 version. So much so that the last scene, he doesn't even say yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. He is literally drowned out by the sound of a gunshot. And that is done purposefully. And this is why I'm saying that, you know what, it saddens me that the U.S., the place that tries to boast itself as the freest place on earth, can't even release a movie with swearing without it being a fucking big deal. And this is why I'm saying that you either get out of the game of defending freedom of speech or all the things that you think you stand for, or you get back to the basics. You get back to the basics of saying, hey, apparently we're supposed to be the lighthouse of freedom. But really, you've proven only the opposite, that a very Puritanist segment of your population is controlling your own politics. And what a sad reality that is, where the people are far more interested in the language that is used rather than what is actually being expressed. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really fucked up about it, where the whole Comedy Central censoring itself is an expression of the fear of retribution from a very fundamentalist organization that lives either within their borders or outside their borders. And at the same time, they're like, oh, well, we believe in free speech. I'm like, those two things are now conflicting. And you don't see as that. It's just a sign of the decline of the American ideal. Really, well, forget the empire. It's the ideal. The ideals that they stand for is in decline. It doesn't exist anymore.
Well, take a look at basically Comedy Central took the path of least resistance, and you can't blame them because it actually worked out really well for them, because what they did was good for them and good for their bottom line, and even ironically good for South Park as a product, because the fact that they censored it gave it a lot more press than it otherwise would have gotten. So they got to play it win-win. They got to play it safe, and they got to do this controversial thing. And the funny thing about it is, people didn't really, I mean, you know, obviously people say fuck you Comedy Central and everything like that, but people don't expect better from these kinds of organizations, which is the reason why they're allowed to do it and get away with it and actually profit from it, just because it's controversy that they created in and just were able to go out and do and profit from without any kind of downside.
Well, it's come to a point where no one is really willing to take a risk when it comes to free speech anymore. That's how it feels. The only people that are taking risks are, you know, people like us, nobodies. Mm. You know, individuals that are willing to speak out, but no one's really, there are only a few people listening. We cater to an audience, right? You know, everybody that listens to the show knows what
to expect.
Preaching
to the choir.
So I'm not saying anything. I'm preaching to the choir. Yeah, but I'm not saying anything new. And it's not getting out enough to really cause any kind of controversy, because I'm not, you know, we're not mainstream. We'll never be fucking mainstream. There's no way. There is no way. We do not obey the laws of mainstream. I mean, the first law of mainstream is don't swear. We've learned this. This is as a hard lesson that in our business ventures, we learned the most important lesson is that if you dare swear, even on something as simple as a blog, you will get blacklisted. We still get blacklisted, even from advertising networks and even some opportunities, because we just do something as silly as swearing. It is upsetting, to say the fucking least. Upsetting.
Yep.
Okay, here's something else I want to just talk about real quick. Let's move on to something. I don't want to talk about the Pope. I don't want to talk about anybody. But here's... we were talking about England before, so here's something I want to bring back. A guy called Harry Taylor. If that name doesn't ring a bell, I posted and talked about this endlessly, how there was a guy who left a lot of blasphemous materials in the prayer room of the John Lennon International Airport in Liverpool. And it generated a lot of news because he went to trial and was found guilty of a very specific type of blasphemy law. And he's been sentenced because that's what was going on. So his sentence was about 6 months plus. I think he had to pay for court charges or whatever. What was the specifics of what he had to pay?
I'm not sure about what he had to pay. He got a 6 month suspended sentence and he got an ABSO, which is really what kind of creeped me out is that the UK has something called the Antisocial Behavior Order, which is a really pliable thing that basically they can charge anybody that they consider to be a what's the word, a troublemaker,
any social weirdo.
It's basically they can say that we're giving you an ABSO that says in his case you're not allowed to carry around anti-religious material in public. So basically what it does is it takes something that somebody is legally allowed to do and it says you're not legally allowed to do that anymore.
Wow, that's pretty fascist, I gotta admit.
And they can do that. It happens a lot to people. The way that it got sold is the idea that they can say, okay, people that go to soccer games and cause trouble, people that go to bars and cause trouble, we can put out an ABSO saying they're not allowed into bars. Now, of course, nobody in the bar that they're entering knows that they have an ABSO against them, so it's completely retarded and stupid and useless. And plus it goes out and people end up doing stuff like saying you're not allowed to carry around anti-religious material anymore, which is just creepy. The whole lot of me is just one of those weird, and it's relatively new too. It was brought into power by that last dickhead who took UK to war in Iraq. So it's not Tony Blair. Yeah, it's not that old.
Yeah, it always what frightens me is that whenever people enact laws with what appears to the public as the best intentions, they're like, well, we're trying to stop soccer hooligans, and saying like, actually, what you're trying to introduce is legislation that controls behavior. And this is what I think an ASBO or whatever it's called is really all about. That's very, very creepy to me, but it doesn't surprise me because a lot of people will say Britain is a secular state, and I'm like, not so much. Not as much as you would like to think it is. That's the weird thing. There's a bit of a dichotomy in Britain where you have a large segment of the population which doesn't, you know, they're very secularist. They believe that government and religion should be separate. But at the same time, that's never been the MO of Britain. I mean, the Church of England and the government were always intertwined. They're practically the same entity. And although you could say, well, there's a very strong liberal tendency of people, individuals in Great Britain, there's also a strong, very conservative government movement. So the people in charge, and I dare to say that they're the older generation. They're usually the guys that have salt and pepper, if not white hair. They're still running things in Britain. And I got to tell you that their beliefs are still very strongly religious. I mean, there are over 1,000 faith-based schools in Britain that actually get funded by the government. So if you think that it's a secular state, you got another fucking thing coming. And every once in a while, one of these kinds of issues pops up because you know, Great Britain and Ireland have all these kinds of creepy and shitty blasphemy laws where it's like, oh, you got to respect religion or you're going to jail. And you're like, what the fuck is this? Well, you're like, this is the main this is what happens when you have religion intertwined with politics. And it's a long tradition in England, man. It's a very long tradition. It's the reason why people left England in the first place to establish America. There was too much religious control over the government. Why do we think that such a thing has gone away? I mean, I feel for you British fans out there that are listening. Your country is fucked up, man. You got almost like a religious theocracy just on the edge. You're still feeling the pull of religion on your politics. And how you could even sentence a guy for 6 months, let alone 6 hours in a jail, for distributing material that has literally appeared on this website on countless occasions scares me. I mean, you could print out The Good Atheist and probably go to jail from all of its content.
Well, one of the interesting things
How fucked up is that?
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. But one of the interesting things that I always find about the UK, I mean, in the States, thank God that we have it written out so clearly, separation of church and state, because you see right now people trying to chip away at that. But over in the UK, you guys have distanced yourself away from all that stuff. But at the same time, you get the feeling that if somebody came in and if the wrong people got into power and basically tried to use that, and tried to bring that back, it wouldn't be that difficult. That's why you see a lot of those, a lot of UK post-apocalyptic movies. They have like V for Vendetta, the cross and a lot of it, religious fundamentalism will take back over. And that's a common theme in a lot of UK post-apocalyptic or disaster material. Is the fear that the church will come back into power, and it's you don't have all of the safeguards from it, and it's not as big of a stretch as it would be, say, even in America, because America just has it codified.
Well, if you ever want to, and here's an interesting thing for good atheists in general, is that I'm always really curious about where fans come from. Because where the people who listen to our show come from typically are places where there's a lot of religious repression. And that's the overall theme. Places that don't have a lot of religious repressions just don't give a shit about us. We cater to the repressed. We allow them to kind of vent out. And it is no surprise that the biggest city in the world that listens to our shit is London, England. It overtakes every other major metropolitan area. London, England is where we have most of our fans, and I don't think that's a fucking coincidence, because it's two sides of this coin. You got this really strong, like, and I'm talking like confident, vocal group of secularists surrounded by a bunch of religious idiots. And it just turns out that the religious idiots really do have most of the power, though they don't have most of the intellectual power. That's the weird thing about it. Like, British intellectuals, typically, not very religious folks. What a surprise! But they are still surrounded from it. And I think that it's funny that we just tend to think in North America, oh yeah, Britain, it's got to be a sectarian, you know, like a secular state. Not so much. Not so much. That's what's surprising. That's why people in England love us. Because we are the atheist curmudgeons. We're always like, we're railing. And I think that they have plenty of reasons to feel that that's necessary. Because I do not envy you, Great Britain. I do not envy you. You have a lot of problems when it comes to that. You just don't seem to be able to deal with it. The fact that all the old religious people do not want to let go. They just don't. You ever wonder if the problem with England is the fact that they have this quest to be the most multicultural country in the world? And I think to a large degree, actually, London, England is probably one of has probably the most minorities than any other city on this planet. They really are cosmopolitan, and maybe that's actually maybe that forces them to take this really pro-religious stance that I think is actually a detriment to their cohesion as a society. I'm like, don't go down that path, guys. There's no good can come from it. That's my opinion.
I have no idea as far as that goes. I'd have to look more into it. I mean, British immigration is a complicated, sticky wicket if I've ever seen one. And I'm surprised that England keeps it together as well as they do, considering the fact that so many people are trying to, you know, get there.
Well, you notice that there's a lot of weird fascist tendencies there too. I mean, there's an entire party that's there that is a, you know, pretty much what I would call kind of a fascist party. They're like, immigrants are the problem. You know, they're very pro-white, and then they have no qualms about that shit. And I think the reason why a party like that can kind of survive is that it's a pushback against the fact that even as the remnants of Great Britain being an empire means that it has this what is that noise?
Dogs barking in the background.
That's right. Yeah, that's great. It's not, now it's not a cat, it's a dog.
Yeah, it's always animals. It's fucking Dr. Doodle little around here.
I can understand your sort of like your the fact that you're looking forward to being in the studio just so that we don't have to put up with his bullshit anymore. Yes. I think that's a big part of it.
Yes.
It's just easier. It's just easier.
Yes. Yes.
Anyways, the point that I'm trying to make is the fact that England, for a large to a large degree, as being a colonial empire, once there was that collapse, I think they were a bit they were forced. Into multiculturalism because, you know, if you're part of the Commonwealth, it's actually easier to become a British citizen and so on and so forth. And because they were so diverse, that ended up playing into sort of like the multiculturalism that is Great Britain today. For fuck's sakes. I'm gonna issue my closing statements again. My closing statement is this, that I feel that to some degree that Great Britain has been was probably, because, you know, it is a very... At the heart of it, conservative society, that a large segment of the population probably always felt uncomfortable about the multiculturalism that was forced onto it because of the fact that it was a colonial power, and that, you know, the remnants of that is that as a colonial power, you're going to be made up of a lot of different groups. And for them, I think that there's what is obviously old white people that don't like other minorities, that their issue is essentially like, oh, well, we're going to take a big stance against this sort of like multicultural push. And it's weird too, because that's what causes the strange dichotomy in England, where you have this one group that's like, we should be tolerant towards everything, which is kind of endearing, but at the same time very unrealistic, and this other segment that's like, we should be intolerant of everything. So I think the problem with Great Britain is that it can't find the middle ground, where you're saying that you should be open, but there are certain things that you should not tolerate. And, you know, sectarianism in your own government and in your own institutions should not be tolerated at all. You should move towards secularism. This is the fucking future, people. Religion is a poison that destroys nations. It destroys human cohesiveness. It is a cancer that we need to fight. That's basically what I'm saying to you, Great Britain. You know, like what are they calling it? You English out there, please, for God's sakes, do something about the fact that you're not able to really separate the two so far. You've done a piss poor job, and guys like this Harry Taylor, who's no atheist saint, let's just say, but it doesn't fucking matter. You should not be jailing a guy for putting out shit like he did. It's absolute bullshit. I am so ashamed of the UK. I hope that every fucking British person out there that listens to the show is feeling angry about this, that they feel like they should be doing something, because you should. This is just unacceptable on so many levels. You need to expunge this religious influence on your government before it's too late. That's what I'm going to say about that.
Well put. Hear, hear.
Okay, we should... Yeah, thank... Hear, hear! Another Jacob Brandt. So we
huzzah!
Should wrap things up. So with that, I'd like to remind everybody that this we have a paid bonus show. If you love the fucking podcast, you're like, I want more, then we're getting close to next actual bonus podcast will be episode 50. So 50 episodes of bonus material that is available to you instantly if you become a member, just like right now. So I don't know how many hours of podcasting that is.
We do know that a lot of you listen to this at the gym. Imagine that, 50 new shows. That's a lot of weight you could drop. Pretty awesome.
Exactly. A lot of weight that you drop while you're totally mad, because I'm sure this podcast makes people mad once in a while. They're like fired up. Everyone should work out to The Good Atheist. That's what I think. Because you'll get pumped up, bitch.
I tell you what I'm mad about. I'm mad about this Skype thing, because let me tell you what. Boo! On Thursday, we'll do it a bit earlier, hopefully with less Skype congestion.
Yeah, it's true. Technological issues, we apologize now if you're like, oh, how come Jacob and Ryan didn't seem in their usual form? Because technology blows.
Yep. Year 2010.
It blows.
Love it.
Okay, with that, I'd like to thank everybody who already is a member. Please consider it. It's definitely in your interest, and it helps us keep doing what we love to do. My name is Jacob Forte,
and I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good atheist day, everybody.